everyone. I'm Carol W. Kamangu. I'm the contributing editor of Infection Control Today. And I'm here with Jordan Bastian today. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And Jordan did a great presentation on IPC in the school environment. So I wanted to interview him to get some tips from him because it's a non-traditional setting for IPs. So Jordan, do you mind introducing yourself for the audience?
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, everyone. My name is Jordan Bastian. I am an infection prevention professional, and I have practice experience both in healthcare and the public health settings, both in private and public sectors as well. I have a master's degree in public health infectious disease epidemiology, as well as I'm certified at infection control as well. I have my CIC credentials. I'm happy to be here and talking about infection prevention and control in schools.
Thank you so much, Jordan. And I'm very excited about this conversation because we don't hear too much about IPC in the school environment. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and start.
Okay, let's do it.
So what inspired you to start working doing infection prevention and control in the school setting?
It's a great question and something interesting because it's not a traditional setting for IPC. One of the reasons I gravitated towards this was because I have three little kids at home.
Oh, yeah.
And two of them are in schools right now. And so I saw a need for infection prevention and control, especially when the COVID-19 pandemic happened. We had kids in masks. We had schools that were closed. We had social distancing, hand hygiene. These things were really emphasized. But what I've noticed in the last several years is we seem to have forgotten about those precautions that were put in place during the pandemic. And I think things have kind of gone back a little bit to the way they were. And I still think things are a little bit better, but there's a lot of progress that we can be made. And I think just as in healthcare settings, kids spread germs and they bring those home to their parents, who in turn have to miss work, or you know they're getting sick, and that affects healthcare settings as well. That's putting pressure on hospitals in the community. So I think it's a really important topic.
Yes, thank you. And as a mother myself, I can totally resonate with you. I started gravitating to the school setting because my kids are in grade school as well. And as we both know, they're petri dishes. They bring anything at home.
Little germ factories.
There you go. And in the community, it's everything from what the kids bring from school. And when you go into the school settings, do you notice anything that's different from the hospital as far as non-compliance with hand hygiene or anything else like that?
Well, we know it's a little bit more difficult to have kids do the hand washing. You know, if I watch my kids wash their hands, they're getting their fingertips wet and they're sprinkling.
Yeah.
But it's really important that I think that they're educated and that the behavior is reinforced for them to really do the right technique and proper technique when it comes to hand washing. And I think there's certain moments that matters. Just like we have 5 moments of hand hygiene in the hospital settings, there should be at least 5 moments at schools as well. When you enter and exit maybe a classroom with a school, after using the restroom, before eating, when you're touching commonly shared surfaces as well, and when you use your tissue or blowing your nose or coughing as well. So there's similarities in that way. But I also think that just because they are kids, some of that behavior is not ingrained.
Yes.
And so it's really important to make sure that those things are happening. Just it's the basics of IP, really.
Yes, exactly. IP 101.
Yeah.
And what about the adults, the teachers, principals? Did you notice anything as far as not washing their hands when they needed to?
I think there's always a gap with washing hands. And I think everyone can probably do it more.
Yes.
But I think if they're really going to be the ones that set the example for the kids. And so that needs to happen as well. And they're helping the kids. They're really involved. And so that's going to be a really important thing. And I think in addition to hand hygiene, just making sure that they have the supplies on hand, I think is really important. The hand sanitizer, soap, water, paper towels. If they don't have the products, then obviously it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing with cleaning products as well. So making sure desks are sanitized, disinfected, especially times when there's more germs going around, maybe when everyone's staying inside during the cold winter months, when really some of these viruses run rampant.
Yes, exactly. And I know that for sure. As I live in Texas, we've all heard about the measles outbreak.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So how do you see IPs expanding their influence outside of hospital walls within the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years, just like you?
Yeah. I think the COVID-19 pandemic, for all the harm it did and the challenges it presented, I think it did open some doors of opportunity for infection preventionists to venture out of the healthcare system. I think we're seeing more infection preventionists in public health. Within schools is one area, you know, there's opportunities to consult in different capacities as well. And so I think in opening those doors and reaching out into the community, I think they're really seeing the benefit of having someone on staff, because there is cost associated with infections and illness. Whether that's missing work, missing school, there really is that cost. And so I think IPs are understanding that as well and seeing the need. They're passionate about and then the work that they do, and they're really seeing the opportunity within the community to help serve where they can to help prevent some of these infections. So I think that's going to continue to grow. I think it's just starting out right now. We're still just a few years off of the COVID pandemic, but I think there's a really good opportunity to build some of those bridges, make those connections, and see really what the value is in the community.
That makes sense. So what specific tools or strategies or resources have you seen helpful to use in the school environment?
I think one of the big key things that I think schools really need is an understanding of what's out there. And so I think it's really working with public health to understand, okay, right now we're seeing more measles, we're seeing more influenza, RSV, and understanding, having that data cascaded from these health departments down to schools. And so health departments become a huge resource so that schools can plan ahead. They know, oh, okay, this is coming our way, or hey, this is typically when we see a spike in cases, so let's prepare, let's make sure we have extra hand sanitizer, let's make sure we have wipes or disinfectants or those types of things, and make sure that we're reinforcing the need for hand washing, hand hygiene. So I think the health departments is a really big resource. I know that APIC also has a great IPC toolkit for schools that's brand new. And so there is more resources out there. And I think some schools are already doing some of these things. And it can be an opportunity to information share, to look at templates, maybe policies that are in place. What's working here may work, also work here. And it's not about reinventing the wheel. It's about taking and understanding what those resources are and using them in the way that's going to be beneficial.
That's a great point. So you talked about some of the resources APIC put out there for IPs in the school environment, well, to work in the school environment. Can you talk a little bit about that? What you know about it?
Yeah. So APIC's done a really good job in putting together some e-learning modules, and it focuses on different roles within the school setting. So even the bus driver is covered, but there's custodians, there's the school nurses, and everyone kind of plays a role, as I've talked about, in making sure that IPC is happening in the right way. So it's getting all those key stakeholders involved and having training for each of them so they know what their job and responsibility is for. They also have great, in addition to e-learning modules, they also have templates for some different policy development. They have posters that can be customized as well. So there's just a really good toolkit that's put together to help schools as they move forward in this direction.
Okay, so any IP who's interested in working with the school environment can just go to those toolkits, or can the schools themselves go and download those tools?
Yeah, I think it could be either way.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think if IPs are interested in learning more, that would be a great stopping point for them to kind of understand what's available. And then schools, absolutely, they're going to be the ones who are really going to want these resources. So as they're talking with IPs and as they're understanding the needs of their school, and as they're looking to implement some of these things, this is a great resource and a way to get started.
Okay. Well, thank you, APIC, for doing that. We all can benefit from it. So thanks again for sharing that with all of us. So now I know where I can find some resources for my son's school, for example.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jordan. And how can public health, we know there are some IPs in public health, but how can public health and infection prevention in hospitals, for example, and contribute to bringing more resilience in the community, especially in schools?
Yeah, I think one of the things, and I mentioned this in my talk this morning, is IPs are a great resource that I don't think are tapped into from a school side. And I think it could be beneficial to hire an IP or maybe just even ask an IP to come do some education. Maybe you want someone to come into the classroom and teach about hand hygiene. Who knows better than IPs? Mm-hmm. And it's also working with the administration, teaching them about the cause of illness, that germ infection prevention cycle, breaking that chain of infection. Some of those things that I don't think are widely understood, mm-hmm. IPs can bring value in that and helping them understand and being a really good resource. It doesn't have to be a full-time employee. I think that will be great in the long run. It's having school districts to have someone like an IP mm-hmm. on staff to help, because we know that school nurses can't do it all. And that's really who has been holding the burden of IPC in schools. But they have so many different tasks that they're doing, chronic diseases, they're doing injuries, and now they're doing IPC, and that's even become even more prevalent since the COVID-19 pandemic. And so having someone to support them and having administration have that, have their back and the support, the resources, the funding, everything going towards some of these programs is really going to be key. Mm.
And as you had a conversation earlier, as IPs, we enjoy helping, educating in schools. So I'm pretty sure many of the other IPs out there can relate to that. We all live in environments where we have schools or a school district near our houses. So all of us can contribute to this work.
Absolutely.
So this is really amazing that you're already setting the way and paving the way, for all IPs to think about schools in their neighborhoods. So is there anything else we haven't covered that you'd like other IPs to know about your experience in the school setting that they could learn from and also take away?
Yeah. I think this doesn't necessarily specifically go towards schools, but just in IPs in general, one thing that I've learned is just to be adaptable. Mm. IPs, infection prevention, IPs, the information, the science that's out there, it's changing, it's evolving, it's growing, we're learning more. And to be adaptable and be able to take that information and push it forward. And so what's true today may not be true next year. And so we're learning, and IPC has come a long ways. Think about the last 100 years or so. There's a lot we've learned and a lot of resources that we have now at our disposal that we didn't have before. So it's all about changing, adapting, being flexible, and to taking that information and really pushing it forward, because I think that's what's going to be key in driving infection prevention and control in the community mm-hmm. and beyond just the healthcare setting.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jordan. This was a great conversation to have, and I hope everyone out there, all of our other IPs, can learn from your experience and also take these resources back to their
environment. Absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate the time, and it's been great to talk about this.
Thank you so much. Thank you.